Now the last three verses of the 28th chapter and of the book of Matthew. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Many years in lectionary, this Sunday, the lesson would be Doubting Thomas. You guys know that one pretty well. And one of the things that is a challenge about Thomas and is a challenge about Easter is so much happens so quickly. So if your week has been like mine, I'm not sure how we were just here a week ago for the first Sunday of Easter. It feels like it has been a much longer time period than that. And the normal Eastertide lectionary readings are almost all actual stories that took place on Easter. So as I looked through the prayer book this morning, the kids read the Emmaus Road story. Well, that happens Easter afternoon. Doubting Thomas happens Easter morning and a week later as well. The women at the tomb, the earthquake, the disciple running ahead, all of that happens in this really condensed time frame. And we don't often read the Matthew narrative of resurrection like we did last week with the earthquake and the angel and the conspiracy theories. But we did this year, and so this year we get Matthew's version of what happens next. Jesus has appeared to the disciples after appearing to the women and said, "Get them here, and I will meet them there." And that is the encounter that happens today. So, given that it doesn't tell us any time has passed or anything else, this is one of those other stories that crams into an incredibly busy 3 days. Jesus meets the disciples on top of the mountain, and he appears, and he gives them both marching orders and something to chew on. Before we get into that too much, Matthew gives this all of 5 verses. This is all that Matthew gives us post-resurrection. This is the entirety of it. He didn't think it needed anything else to be said. Luke writes a whole other book. Matthew stops right after the Great Commission. And typically, we think of the Great Commission as just verse 19. But there is a lot more to it than that. So Jesus appears to them, and he kind of, the way I would have written this if I was in charge, these would be bullet points. First of all, "I'm in charge," Jesus said. "I have all authority in heaven and on earth." In other words, listen up, stupids. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Depending on your translation, it's nations, it's lands, it's peoples, it's lives. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That's like one of the only times the Trinity is actually phrased that way in the entire Bible. And that's typically where we stop because that feels nice and safe. Think about that for a moment. "Go therefore and make disciples over the entire face of the earth, over all different walks of lives, all nations, all places, all peoples, all times, all professions, all experiences, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And we think that's the easy part. "And teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." There is a lot of stuff going on in five verses in Matthew. First piece is that there is a recognition here from Jesus that discipleship starts before baptism. Our big, happy theological words are prevenient grace. Grace comes first. God makes the first move. Before we do anything, God is at work. So before we get here, something has already happened to us. There's some powerful language in there. Make disciples. Now, I could walk up behind Granger and make his chair move, right? I could twist Claire's arm and probably get a black eye for it and make Claire do something. Now, what are the odds that I'm actually going to make Claire do something? But we make implies both creation and manufacture and work. How easy is it to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? He's going to tell us his yoke is light and his burden is easy. Is it always? Disciples have to be made, formed, shaped, molded, created, sanctified, set aside, blessed. Where are you going to get these disciples? I mean, Matthew here, he deviates from the entire purpose of his gospel. Matthew's entire purpose is to make Jesus look like another Moses. And we all know Moses was only sent to one small group of people in an out-of-the-way place in the world. I mean, Moses is just Moses for the Hebrews in Egypt. It's this one little teeny tiny group of people who are then going to get lost for 40 years before they move in and take over somebody else's house. Matthew is writing to the Jews. That's his generally accepted audience by scholars. And he's trying really hard to prove that this Jesus guy is the promised Messiah for the Jews. And then Jesus closes Matthew's book with words like, just go find them anywhere. Go find them in Creole Springs. Go find them in Johnson City. And if you're really desperate, Marian Presbyterians, go find them in Heron. And if you must, if you absolutely must, you could potentially go all the way to Carbondale. But that's a really long way. That's not the text, is it? Jesus says, go find them. Go forth and make them. Go forth and shape people into something from all over. From all over. From all experiences, all walks, all things. And the disciples who are gathered there on the mountain on that day have to be thinking. They have to be thinking about when Jesus came and found them and made them disciples. They were at fishing boats. They were tax collectors. They were physicians. They were people out doing what they did every day until Jesus Christ came and said, there's a different way to do things. Follow me. That should still be a poignant message for our world today. Then Jesus tells Matthew, you should baptize them. And you should do it sort of this way. And this phrase has stuck and become a liturgical stumbling block over the years. You baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit because that's what it says in the Bible. And so we do. You'll notice that's what we do. Of all of the theological disagreements the various flavors of Christianity have, that is what we do in baptism. We may argue about who gets to do the baptism, or how old you are, or whether you have to be sprinkled or dunked or nearly drowned, whether it has to be still water or running water or any of those sorts of debates. But we baptize pretty much exactly the way Jesus told us to at the end of Matthew. And we still don't know what we're getting into. Because then we're supposed to teach them everything that Jesus has commanded us. Teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. Now, if I'm one of the 11 gathered on the mountaintop on that day, I got to be thinking, well, we don't obey so good what you've commanded us. And if I'm one of the 1.5 billion Christians on the face of the earth today, I probably still have to be thinking, well, we don't obey so well what you have commanded us. Our Sunday school discussion this morning was on this passage. And part of that conversation was, there's a reason Jesus doesn't take everybody aside and give them independent assignments. We're supposed to do this thing together. The 11 disciples are supposed to do it together. When we read Acts, we find out that together is not always our strong suit. But this is something that's for all of us to do. And then there's this kicker line, and this is how Matthew ends the book. And remember, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, let's put that in context, just for a brief, shining moment. This is the guy who was gone for the last 3 days, who's not supposed to be with us at all if we believe that death wins. This promise has more weight to it than it looks like when we put it up there on a nice, pithy Pinterest sign. Because the one who's saying it has proven quite literally that he will go to hell and back to be with his people. Think about that for just a moment. That this is potentially an Easter Sunday afternoon encounter with the risen Christ who says, I will be with you always. No matter what Rome says, no matter what 2 pieces of wood and 3 nails and a spear in the side say, no matter what death says, no matter what sin says, no matter what the powers of this world say, no matter what the people interested in their personal power who are chief priests and scribes say, no matter that you didn't stay with me, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. This is how Matthew closes the good news according to Matthew. That's pretty good news, isn't it? I mean, just the 28th chapter is resurrection and a promise that he's going to hang out with us forever. Oh, and there's the little matter of this workload task list that Jesus gives us too. Why does Matthew end it here? I think Matthew ends it here because this is at the basics, the core of the gospel. This is at the basics, the task for those of us who have seen Jesus and believe in the resurrection. Make disciples. Make them. Form them. Shape them. Find them everywhere. Find them from here and from there. Find them from different walks of life in different places. Find ones who speak different languages, who wear different clothes, who navigate the world differently. Make disciples out of all of those. Because they'll look different, and they'll sound different, and they will tell the story, the same story, differently. And then there's that pesky word at the beginning of that Great Commission. Go. Get out of here. Do not be a Midwesterner trying to leave dinner at a friend's house. You guys know that, right? We're going to stand at the door and talk for at least 30 minutes after we've said we had to leave 20 minutes ago. Go. Go. These are the marching orders for the church. Because who's on that mountaintop on that day is the church. It is the people who have seen and believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means that those marching orders are our marching orders. It doesn't say, build a building and wait for them to come to you. To quote Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. No. Go! Go, get out of here! I would love to hear Jesus say, Vamoos! Because where are you going to have to go from Jerusalem to make disciples of all lives and nations and lands? You think you can just pop into downtown Jerusalem and find everybody? Philip's going to head on the road down to Capernaum. He's going to meet an Ethiopian eunuch. Well, that checks like 17 boxes off the list. He's probably Jewish. He's African. He's a eunuch. He's got high privilege and low status. That's okay. Thomas is going to head further to the east, and he's going to go to India. St. Andrew, always eclipsed by his brother Peter. Always eclipsed. Peter only makes it to Rome. It's really kind of disappointing. Peter only makes it to Rome, and, well, he is the rock on which the church is going to be built, and so the Pope is now in Peter's seat. But St. Andrew is the patron saint of Greece and Scotland and Russia because he made it all those places. That's a road trip. I mean, we like to talk about Paul's three missionary journeys, and he made it all the way to Rome, and that was with some help from the Roman authorities. Go! Because if you don't go, what's going to happen? The people in Jerusalem, the people in Nazareth, the people of Bethlehem, people of Capernaum, they've already seen the miracles. and some of them didn't believe even having seen it. But there's so many more who need to hear it, to believe it's possible, to be amazed. So in the words of Disney Pixar, the commission is to go to infinity and beyond. Go. Make disciples. Jesus says, you've seen me attempt to do it for 3 years. I kind of imagine that Jesus is kind of like a parent who sees their child and their spouse is pregnant. Oh, you think parenting is easy? Go, you go try this for a couple years on your own. Come back and let me know how it works. Go. Find them in the people who fall asleep during your sermons, Paul, and fall out of windows. Find them in the faithful women who will provide you home and meals. Find them in the people who will leave their jobs and their families behind to go with you. Go and find them in the people who don't understand a word you're saying, but write it down anyway. But go. Because out there, Jesus says, is where you are to be. The mission of the church is not to be here. It is to go. Let us go. And to God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.